Everybody take your Bibles and turn to Nehemiah chapter 1. Nehemiah chapter 1, we'll start in verse 1. When you find it, please stand and honor God's word. Nehemiah chapter 1, starting in verse 1, we're going to read down through verse 7. And the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hechaliah, and it came to pass in the month of Chilzu, in the 20th year, I was in Shushan, the palace, that Hananiah, one of my brethren, came, he and a certain man of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down. The gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the Lord God of heaven. And said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes be open, that they may hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments, which thou commandest thy servant Moses. And chapter 2, verses 17 and 18. Then said I to them, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more of a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's word that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you use this message. Dear Heavenly Father, I just felt an overwhelming urge to preach this one. And Dear Heavenly Father, I'm excited for what you have for us tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you use me. I pray that you help me to be a blessing. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you just help me to be a vessel for your use. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Tonight I'm going to talk about let us rise up and build. Over the past 2 weeks, as a lot of you know, we traveled to the city where I grew up in Pasco, Washington. And on the trip, we saw many different churches, some growing, some dying. There was a pastor, Cook. We ran across a guy in South Dakota. His name was Pastor Cook. We talked to him beforehand, and he asked me to pray with him before the service. We told him about our veteran service, and he's a Marine, and he gave us his hat out of his office from the Marine Corps, and he says, "I want this displayed in your veteran service." And we talked with Pastor Burkhead, who started a new church in Kennewick, Pastor Paisley, who is continuing a work that made a big impact on my life, and but anyways, over the course of the trip, God was working on my heart. As I sat under Pastor Cook, I heard a sermon on how God can take a life and do great things if we set aside our own ambition and we accept his will. And I sat under Pastor Tom Lamons and was taught about how the cares of this world can distract a Christian from getting serious about serving God. I sat under Pastor Matthew Burkhead and got a renewed burden for the work. I sat under the tail end of a missions conference, and I was reminded that things and possessions are to be used for the work or else are useless. I sat under Pastor Randy Dignan and was reminded that our homes are suffering or are blessed based on whether or not mommy and daddy obey and serve God. And so here's the thing is that over the past 2 weeks, God, I feel, has been preparing me for the sermon on let us rise up and build. See, as we read in Nehemiah chapter 1 and verse 2, we see that I asked concerning the Jews that had escaped. which were left of the captivity and concerning Jerusalem. See, the thing about it is here Nehemiah has a concern. He's concerned about his fellow Jews. He's concerned about Jerusalem and the state that it's in. And see, here's the thing, is I believe that he was genuinely concerned about these. I believe that a lot of Christians are genuinely concerned about the city in which they live. The sad part is usually it stops at a concern. Most people are just content to sit around talking about a need. Most people are content to sit around talking about whether or not their state is, or whether or not the state of their city is that of pleasing God or that of disrepair, so to speak, as we refer to the walls of Jerusalem. See, with Nehemiah, he didn't just ask. Just to be pacified. If you look in verse 4, the Bible says, "And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and I wept and I mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of Israel." See, the thing about it is he wasn't just content to be concerned. The thing about it is his concern went to, as we see in verse 4, his concern went down to weeping, and his weeping turned to mourning. And the thing about it is this wasn't just a weeping and a mourning for a brief time, and then poof, it was gone. It was, the Bible says, certain days. You look down later on in the passage where he's praying, and the Bible says he's praying day and night. See, the thing about it is we need a revival of Christians being a little more than just being concerned. We need a revival of Christians weeping over the state of our nation, weeping over the state of our cities, weeping over the state of our homes in America. See, the thing about it is the reason we are in the state we're in is because our concern has not turned to weeping. Our concern has not turned to mourning. Our weeping has not turned to mourning, and our mourning has not turned to fasting and praying. The Bible says, "This kind cometh not forth, not but by prayer and fasting." See, the thing about it is when we're concerned, we're not willing to do anything about it. When we're just concerned, we're not willing to weep. We're not willing to shed a tear. We're not willing to mourn and fast and pray for the state of America, for the state of Bucyrus. The thing about it is God is looking for some people to be concerned. God is looking for some people to weep. God is looking for some people to mourn, and not just weep, but to fast and pray. Why does this matter so much? Because the condition of Bucyrus and the condition of this church affects our children, our grandchildren, and the country they live in. See, the thing about it is you know what? We might be okay in our lifetime if we just stagnate and we just decide that we're gonna exist. But the thing about it is I'll be honest with you, what concerns me the most is the state of our church, the state of our homes, the state of our country, for these folks right there, if we do nothing. If we don't rise up and build, what kind of a church are we gonna pass on to them? What kind of a nation are we gonna pass on to them? What are they gonna face as young people? I'll be honest with you, I've already seen more changes in my lifetime, in a very short lifetime. The thing about it is I've seen America change more, churches change more, homes change in just the last couple of years. If we don't rise up and build, what are we going to pass on to them? America needs to wake up and realize that the sedimentary Christian life just ruins the country for those we love. We need to rise up and build. We need to take personal responsibility. America is not what it used to be because now we are so good at passing the buck. Well, the preacher can reach Bucyrus. Let the younger people make a difference. They have more energy. Let the older people do it. They have more wisdom. The thing about it is the problem is we keep on passing the buck and nobody's rising up to build. If you look at verse 6, chapter 1 of verse 6, the Bible says, "Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servants, which I pray before thee day and night." He's fervent about it. "For the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which," get this, "we have sinned against thee, and both I and my father's house have sinned." He took personal responsibility for the state of Jerusalem. He took personal responsibility. I'll be honest with you, if we're ever to rise up and build, we need to take personal responsibility for the state of Bucyrus. We need to take personal responsibility for the state of our homes. We need to take personal responsibility for the state of our nation. See, the thing about it is that, listen, he was living high in the king's service, but Jerusalem was a mess. We have to realize that our lukewarm Christianity is to blame for the fact that Satan has taken our town. Here's the thing, is it's our lack of prayer that Bucyrus is religious but lost. It's our lack of soul winning that makes our neighbors dying and going to hell. It's our casual approach to church and church attendance that is sending the wrong message to our family and the community. We are the problem. And if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Here's the thing, is God gives us a recipe. God gives us a recipe to heal a nation. The recipe is, hey, listen, I'm the problem. And you know what? You know what? I was the problem, but now I'm going to be a part of the solution. I'm not going to wait for somebody else to rise up and build. I'm not going to wait for the pastor to do it. I'm not going to wait for the Sunday school teachers to do it. Bless God, I'm going to rise up and I'm going to build. You know what? We need to take responsibility about it. We don't need to just talk about it. We need to do something. We need an old-fashioned revival of prayer. We need an old-fashioned revival of fasting. We need an old-fashioned revival of weeping. We need an old-fashioned revival of walking the aisle. Here's the thing is, when's the last time we walked an aisle? When's the last time we invited someone to church? When's the last time we shared the gospel? If the answer is a while ago, then hey, bless God, we are the problem. And I'm not saying you're the problem. I'm the problem too. The good news is that we can be a part of the solution too. Rise up and build. There needs to be a determination. Chapter 4 and verse 1. The Bible says, but it came to pass when the Sanballat heard that we had builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. Bless God, there was a mocking going on. Here's the thing is, you know what? I'll be honest with you. I don't like being mocked. That boils my blood. But the thing about it is you know what? We need an old-fashioned revival of determination, grit in the craw, and hey, listen, it don't matter who mocks. Thing about it is you know what? God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You want to mock God? Bless God. You know what? Your turn's coming. Thing about it is I don't want to be a part of that, but bless God, we need an old-fashioned revival of determination, an old-fashioned revival of, you know what? It doesn't matter who mocks God. It doesn't matter who mocks soul winning. Bless God. God still commands it. We need to rise up and build. People that refuse to build the wall are going to be upset. Their slacker lifestyles exposed and as being ungodly and wicked. Look at chapter 4 and verse 7. The Bible says, it came to pass that when Sanballat, Tobiah, and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the wall of Jerusalem were being made up and the breaches began to be stopped, they were very wroth. See, the thing about it is you know what? There's going to be people that are determined to put a wrench in the works. There are people that are going to be determined that, you know what? This Calvary Baptist Church is not going to rise up and build. I'll be honest with you. I'm so excited to be a part of Calvary Baptist Church because, bless God, we've got a church that's determined to rise up and build. Here's the thing is we've got a pastor that's determined to rise up and build. See, the thing about it is we just need to jump on the bandwagon and say, you know what? I will be a part of the solution, not a part of the problem. And there are going to be people that oppose it. You know what? I don't care who gets uncomfortable when I walk an aisle and get fired for God, because maybe they'll get so uncomfortable that they'll do it too. See, the thing about it is too many times we as Christians, we say, you know what? Well, I don't want to offend anyone. I don't want to make them uncomfortable, but I'll be honest with you. Hey, when I got saved, you know why I got saved? Part of why I got saved is because I was uncomfortable. You know what? I had a preacher tell me that, you know what? Bless God, if you don't get saved, you're going to split hell wide open. And you know what? I didn't want to go to hell. I didn't want to burn in hell forever for eternity. And so bless God, you know what? I learned about the promises of God and I learned all the stories. And the thing about it is, I'll be honest with you, why I got saved is because somebody decided they were going to make me uncomfortable, and I didn't like being uncomfortable, and you know what? The conviction set in, and you know what? One day, I believe it was a Saturday, I knelt in front of at a couch in front of a picture window in West Richland, Washington, and bless God, I got saved because somebody dared to make me uncomfortable. I'll be honest with you, we need an old-fashioned revival of people being willing to make someone uncomfortable. Now, the thing about it is you know what? Too many times we try and be politically correct and we try and this, that, and the other. But the thing about it is I'll be honest with you. If we're making somebody uncomfortable because of us, you know what? Maybe we need to change. But if we're making somebody uncomfortable because of this, bless God, we don't need to change. We need to rise up and build. I want you to look at this. Chapter 4 and verse 4. Hear, O God. Hear, O our God, for we are despised and turn to the reproach unto their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity, and cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. Now listen, the thing about it is you know what? Listen to that prayer. Cover not the iniquity. Don't blot the sins out. We build the wall, for the people had a mind to work. I'll be honest with you. Oh, that we as a people had a mind to work again. And say, here's the thing: it's not work on getting a nicer car, or not work on getting a nicer house, or padding our bank account. Oh, that people were willing to work in the house of the Lord. What's at stake? The next generation. Whether or not the walls get built back up. See, the thing about it is I'll be honest with you, I didn't even think of the anniversary Sunday. But you know why Calvary Baptist Church is on this corner? Because some men decided to rise up and build. You want to know why Calvary Baptist Church is still on the corner of Marion and Beale? Because some folks decided they were going to rise up and build. And the thing about it is you know what? We need to be ready to fight. Chapter 4 and verse 17, the Bible says, chapter 4 and verse 17, the Bible says, they which builded on the wall, and they which are bear burdens with those who laden, every one with his hands wrought the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. For the builders, every one had a sword girded by his side, and so builded. He that sounded the trumpet was by me. Here's the thing, is we need to be ready to fight. All throughout American history, we had men willing to fight for what they believed in. Willing to put it all on the line. I'll be honest with you, this is why I love our veteran service so much. It showcases some men that decided, you know what? This is what I believe in, and this is what I'm willing to die for. I'll be honest with you, we need to get some Christians that, just like the men through history, just like the veterans that served so faithfully our country, we need some Christians that, like them, said, listen, this is what I believe, and I'm willing to die defending it. The thing about it is I'm not going to let some Professor Itchy Bottom tell me that the Bible is not true. I'm not going to let them tell me that, you know what, that I was created from a monkey. You know what? I kind of wonder about the professor. But the thing about it is that, listen, I'm not going to have some high water britches guy trying to tell me that the Bible is not true. Hey, listen, my Bible says let God be true and every man a liar. You know what? God has made too much of a difference in my life. He has brought me too far. Listen, I'm here because someone rose up and built. I am what I am today, not because of me, but because someone decided I will rise up and build. And I want you to look at this. Chapter 4 and verse 17. Actually, that was the wrong verse. So, the Bible says, verse 18 and verse 2, so they strengthened their hand for the work. Listen, here's not what they did. They didn't go down to Dunham's and get one of those little stress balls and go. No, they strengthened the hand. What was God saying? They decided to be prepared. See, the thing about it is you know what? They were prepared for a fight and they were ready for a fight. I'll be honest with you, we live in a society today as a whole, we're pansy, wimpy, and spineless people. When we need comfort dogs and coloring papers when a group loses their election, that's pansy. I'm just saying. And so here's the thing is, as Christians, we're not much better. All around us, Jerusalem is lying in waste, and thus far, not very many people have decided to rise up and build. Here's the thing is, you go out west, I was talking with Pastor about this, you go out west, South Dakota, you're lucky to find a church anywhere, much less even something close. Washington State, where I grew up, there's 300,000 people and one established church and one brand new church to reach 300,000 people. I'll be honest with you, not many people have decided to rise up and build. You know what? We need to take and we need to say that we're willing to help build in the background, but leave the, you know, here's the thing is, I'll be honest with you, too many times we say, you know what, I'm willing to do this or that, but let's leave the fighting to somebody else. Or you know what, I'm ready for a fight, but they're not willing to build. God is looking for some people that decide they're going to rise up and build, strap the sword. By the way, I don't know if you recognize the correlation, but the sword of the Spirit. Hey, listen, it's time that we as Christians start to getting skilled at the sword and skilled at the Word of God and ready to give an answer, so the Bible says. And so the thing about it is you know what? We need to be people that rise up and build, strap the sword of the Lord to our side and be ready to give an answer to every man that asketh. I'll be honest with you, it's not always easy to fight. And it's not always a short fight. But it's dead sure necessary to fight. I want all the young people in the auditorium to stand right now. If you're 18 and younger, stand, please. Guy, yep, that's you. Here's the thing is, you want a good reason why to rise up and build? That's it right there. That's it right there. See, the thing about it is what are we willing to pass on to this generation? Here's the thing is, all of us have families. What are we willing to pass on to our children? What are we willing to pass on to our grandchildren? See, the thing about it is too many times we say, let the building to somebody else. I'll be honest with you, if we do that, this group right here and what they represent won't have anything. We have a church here because somebody said, I will rise up and build, and they strengthen their hand for the work. The challenge tonight is, what are we going to do? Are we willing to be one of those people that is just casually concerned? Are we saying, bless God, I'm going to rise up and build? You can have a seat. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this challenge. I'll be honest with you, it's a very convicting challenge. It's one, I'll be honest with you, I feel I failed at. Dear Heavenly Father, I feel like Nehemiah, and I feel like for so long I've been a part of the problem. For so long I haven't stood like I should. I haven't built like I should. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray tonight that we have an old-fashioned revival of rising up and building. Pray that you do a work, Pastor.